The Lexington Farmers Market Report on WUKY is brought to you by Kentucky American Water, a member of the National Partnership for Safe Water. Information about the partnership, tap water quality and treatment, water supply sources, and more is included in our annual water quality report. Learn more at KentuckyAMWater.com. Hello and welcome to Kentucky American Water's Lexington Farmers Market Report. Joining us from the Lexington Farmers Market, Josh England. Josh, welcome back to WUKY. What's happening over there at the Lexington Farmers Market?
There's always amazing things happening at the farmers markets, and we often get lots of questions from customers. So I wanted to take today, as we move through the spring and are starting to get into the summer, to talk about some of those frequently asked questions.
What is your most asked question?
Probably where to park. And that is a silly question, but all the farmers markets across the state, that's one thing that we have to think about is where are our customers going to park, where are the farmers going to park, how can you get access to the locations? If you're in an urban setting like downtown Lexington, parking can be a little bit more challenging than if you're in a suburban setting or in a rural setting where there's just a big open parking lot. Don't take that out on the farmers. They're trying their best to sell. A lot of farmers markets have worked with the neighborhoods to make sure that there's still plenty of parking. For example, downtown Lexington, we have an arrangement and a provided discount at the Victorian Square parking garage. And we've also worked with the city and other stakeholders to make sure that parking is free at the meters downtown on the weekends. We know that it can be a challenge. If you have any concerns, you can always ask the market staff, where can I park? Because we want to make sure that we are there for you.
And of course, the Sunday Southland Drive, there's plenty of parking for that.
There's a lot of parking, but still, if you're concerned about, it's getting bigger and bigger every year, because now the Southland Drive Farmers Market is probably bigger than our downtown location, they're still concerned of how's that impacting the neighborhood and where can we park to make sure that we can safely get in and out of that area. Sometimes you go to a farmer's market and you don't know that particular farm name or that particular farmer's name, or it happened 2 years ago, you said, I had some really, really great peaches from the man in the red truck at the corner. Go and ask the staff at the farmer's market, hey, do you still have that farmer in your market that had the peaches at the red truck at the corner? And they probably have gotten that question before and give you an idea of when they might start. Another question that I get is, when are the garlic people going to be back? Or when are we going to have tamales back at the market? You can always ask the information booth or seek out one of the farmers that may be nearby where you remember seeing that product before.
Josh, thank you so much for coming in and answering some questions and talking about the farmers market.
Thanks for having me today.
And thank you for joining us for the Lexington Farmers Market Report, brought to you by Kentucky American Water. And we'll see you down there at the Lexington Farmers Market, where friends meet. I'm Joe Conkright for WUKY.
The other question I get is, when are we going to have corn? When are we going to have beans? When are we going to have watermelon? When are we going to have all of those great summer staples? Because we are working with seasonal produce, sometimes it's hard to know an exact date. I can't tell you, we will for sure have corn by 4th of July, because just like we had a couple weeks ago, we had a frost in May. That can impact how the plants are growing, how the farmer is planning their schedule. And so I can estimate based on years and years of experience to know that we usually have our first corn crop here in central Kentucky ready for 4th of July. That's not a guarantee, but that's usually about the first date we can guess that we're going to have that. Same with things like watermelon. I can't tell you exactly which specific date, but I know that we usually have local watermelon by the end of June, but sometimes we don't. But I can tell you that we can expect to have it by the end of July. We know that certain crops take 100 days to grow from seedling. We know that some crops take 120 days. We can estimate, but that's how we sort of know what's going to happen.
There are certain farmers that maybe don't come all of the time. So if someone is coming for a specific, are farmers markets usually or most of the time more expensive than the grocery stores?
I think that as we've seen over the last few years, sometimes and that is the case for certain specialty products that you can't typically find at the grocery store. It's going to be a little more expensive. But other times, if you get the product in season and you're thinking, I need to put up a bushel of white half runner green beans and can those, then it's always going to be cheaper, or mostly going to be cheaper, to get that bulk price at the farmer's market. Asking the farmer when they think they're going to have the most of a certain thing. When are you going to have the most sweet peppers in so I can stock up? Or do you have any seconds? Seconds are certain products that may have some sort of outward blemish, but you can cut them off and still process them or make them into jams or sauces. That happens a lot with tomatoes as we get later into the season. You can ask the farmer, do you have any canning tomatoes or second tomatoes that I can use? I don't need them to be pretty for a salad. I just want to be able to cook them into a gravy or a sauce. And that's another way to save on things. At the grocery store, they're just throwing those out. So that makes it more expensive for everything. And things like eggs and meat, you can have an idea of where those came from. You can have an idea of how those animals were treated. And you can have that traceability so that you can make those decisions. You can find an egg that you really love and you can go back to that farmer every week and you can trust that they're going to be pretty reliable there. Or if you know that you like grass-fed beef or corn-finished beef, you can find those different products at the farmer's market. Talk to the farmer and see if that's going to be around for a while or if you need to stock up now. There's something about that community and knowing more about the farmer and the animals that really is part of the benefit of shopping locally and shopping with a farmer at the farmer's market.
You got to leave us with a recipe. What do you think? Something that is particularly good right now, this time of year, or still springtime?
I always want to remind people that an omelet is a great way to use up any products in your fridge that you may have let go an extra day or two. This morning, for example, I had a spinach omelet. I had some spinach that I had bought, used some of it in some ramen, and I was like, oh no, I need to use the rest of it. I cooked that down. I had a few stalks of asparagus left that I'd put in the freezer, and I had some green onions. I cooked and sauteed all of those, mixed those in an omelet. It brought new life to those things that we all have had the guilt of doing, of putting it in the refrigerator and watching it slide further back. And you don't want to eat anything that's rotten or spoiled, but you know there's always those things where I bought this to make a spinach salad, and I'm not going to make a salad with this anymore. And so you can cook it down and still use it, enjoy it, and not create an added waste.